Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Joining me here today to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day. My goodness, we have so much to talk about. Don't forget that we are two programs back to back. We want to welcome all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast of Christian Television Network, and of course, all of those that are listening and viewing all across the nation and the world. We love your comments on Facebook and other forms of social media, and we ask you to continue to dialogue with us as we're dialoguing with you, and we can continue together. Keep the conversation light, and we want a L-I-G-H-T perspective in the world today. So many dark things are happening, but the hope is in Jesus Christ and
That's
Him alone.
Right.
And listen, I sleep well. I just told someone yesterday that I was going through a rough time. I said, I still don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one who holds tomorrow, and with that, I sleep very good every night. I have no worries. Because I know the one who has saved me doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. He ultimately has a plan, and no matter what it is that I face or go through, and you as a believer, we can trust and know that everything is Father-filtered and that God can bring us through anything. So I want to encourage you today that even if you're facing the most difficult times today, it's not over. Let me say another way. It ain't over because God is right there with you, and He can help you. The Word of God tells us that He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And He's there. He's present. And He wants to help you. You just got to reach out to Him, and He'll come to you. In fact, the Word of God says if we draw close to God, He will draw close to us. And oftentimes, your first step determines His second step, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what. I mean, it feels so good to know that we serve such an awesome and compassionate God who's rich in mercy every single day. And I need lots of mercy. So I'm excited about some of the things we're going to be sharing with you. We're going to continue our conversation that we ended in our first program regarding secrets or how to, rather, live a blessed and fruitful life. Because, you know, the alternative is to live a cursed, unproductive life. And that's not a good idea, right?
No.
We want to live a blessed, fruitful life to the glory of God, not for the glory of ourselves. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to continue to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about in today's program, this Ebola virus that is in Africa. I mean, this thing has spread from Liberia to Sierra Leone, and which is interesting because the whole diamond situation, all the people that have been massacred there for quite a long time. But we want to continue to pray. Samaritan's Purse is there. Franklin Graham's ministry is a Christian doctor who has been infected, and we want to pray for him and stand in the gap. And we want to pray that those people, they contain this outbreak, people get healed, because there isn't a cure, a man-made cure. There is a cure, the blood of Jesus, and we want to pray that people can get healed, this doctor can be healed, and that no further people are going to be contaminated, and that no fear stirs up. A lot of times people get fearful during a time like this, but we shouldn't be fearful. We need to be filled with faith and confidence in our God. We're also going to be talking about some things regarding some of the things that the Lord has laid on Steve's heart, which we're going to be excited to hearing about that as well. And don't forget, I need to talk about Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is playing now for the Lakers. Excuse me. He left the Houston Rockets. And, you know, before you feel sorry for Jeremy Lin because he went from the New York Knicks to the Houston Rockets and now he's in L.A., he is making $15 million this year. So, Jeremy, I know that you're crying all the way to the bank, but we're going to talk about Jeremy Lin, and who does he play for? In fact, you're going to see him talk about it himself. Really cool guy from what I've seen and heard of him. Just really exciting. But we want to continue our conversation about the secrets to being a blessed life, or how to live a blessed life. You know, it's not really a secret because we're going to tell you, and it wasn't a secret back then because Jesus told the disciples plainly. But we talked about the parable of a the shrewd manager. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a manager for a rich man, and basically he was wasting the rich man's possession. And the rich man says, dude, you're going to have, paraphrasing, you're going to have to give an account for this, for my stuff here. You're wasting. He said, you're wasting mm-hmm. my possessions, and you can no longer be manager.
Wow.
And so, I don't know if he was being terminated or his employment was being terminated. But something was going down right here. Mm-hmm. And instantly this guy kicks into, you know, the mode that he should have been all along, handling business. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden some fire gets kicked up, you know, for him. And he says, well, let me do some quick thinking here. I'm too lazy to dig a hole. And I'm too proud to beg. I better go do something. So when I lose everything, I can have favor with people. And he starts basically cutting down all these bills of all the debtors that, you know, owed money to his rich boss. So he's cutting these bills in half. Rich guy comes back and says, basically, you know, this is a dishonest dude here. He's, you know, cutting off my money and stuff. But I got to commend you for something. I got to commend you. And he's like, there's something good to say in all this? Wait a mm-hmm. minute. What did I miss here? Mm-hmm. He says, you acted so shrewdly. You acted so shrewdly. I mean, granted that, you know, in the last several years you did nothing and you wasted my possessions and now, but in this moment here, you rose to the occasion and you decided to move creatively, instinctively, with purpose, intentionality, resourcefulness, and you made it happen. And I need to commend that. Because the Bible says, it continues to say that the world acts more shrewdly with each other than people of the light do. Mm-hmm. And there's an expectation, I believe, that God gives us as believers not to just sit around and wait for things to happen, but we're the children of the light. God wants us to be influencers in the world that we live in. He wants us to be sharp with it to the best that we can. I mean, we serve Him. Right, everything we have comes from Him. So whatever we lack, if we lack wisdom, the Bible says we can freely ask for it. If we can't do something, you know, that we don't, God can give us grace, supernatural enablement to empower us to do what we cannot do on our own. Mm-hmm. You know, God can impart and give us knowledge where we don't have any knowledge.
Right.
So God can do everything if we just cry out and ask Him to do it. So He's blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. I mean, we're equipped. We're equipped. We just have to act on that, on what He's given us. And so there's an expectation to be resourceful and to prove trustworthiness. Because here's the deal. Here's I guess, the secret, if you will. God allows things to come into our lives. And it's almost like everything that He allows to come into our life is a test. It's like everything is an entrustment, and He's watching, He's seeing, because God sees everything. And He, well, does God really care about that? Well, the Bible says that every one of your hairs are numbered, that two birds don't fall out of the sky outside of His will, not mm-hmm. outside of His knowing, but outside of His will. He's aware of everything. So yeah, I would say that He takes notice of your life. And so He's looking to see how, because He wants to bless, His desire is to bless His children. I mean, if you who are evil want to bless your child and give them the very best, how much more does the Father in heaven want to bless His own children? And so God wants to bless us and bring us into a spacious land, mm-hmm. right? And help us to be fruitful, right? Because our life is about bringing Him glory. Mm-hmm. So He's looking to see, okay, I've entrusted this person with this. What are they doing with it? And I think a lot of times, if people are sitting around on the blessings of God, God has blessed them so much mm-hmm. that they're adding their miseries on a calculator, but counting God's blessings on their hand. Mm. And they're taking for granted the blessings of the Lord in their life as just something they've done, something they deserve, instead of saying that, you know what, I'm gonna be appreciative for what I have. I'm going to be trustworthy with what I have. And then as you know, I continue to be faithful, maybe God will bless me with more, and He will, like Jabez, extend my tent and give me some more things for me to manage and to do. And so this is interesting. The word God says in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted, right, with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth. Who will trust you with true riches? I mean, the truth is that if you can't tithe on 50 cents, you're not going to tithe on $5 million. Believe me, no. You're not going to do it.
No.
I mean, it's interesting how the issue wasn't the quantity. Because he says, listen, if you're faithful with a little, it's not how much you have. If you have proven faithfulness, if you have proven trustworthiness, it's something in your character that's already on the inside of you. So whether I give you $100 or $1 million, because that character in your life has been developed in such a way with God, I know that you're going to do the right thing. Well, God's looking to see, has that been developed? Has that matured in your life?
Right.
But he also knows, I can't bless you with $1 million. I can't bless you with any, because you squander 25 cents, you squander 50 cents, whatever it is, you just lose it all. You give it all. And you think about it, you know, I was talking to my sons the other night about this. It's like, you know, God has a bucket of blessing he wants to pour out. He's looking over the banister of heaven saying, who can I bless? Who can I give this to? He's like, oh, no, the last time I gave this person this job, they complained about that job and they didn't even show up. And they said they were a Christian. And no, I can't bless them right there, because they're going to continue to do the same thing they were doing there. And then when I gave this person a promotion, they didn't even come back. They didn't even want to fellowship with the rest of the body anymore. I didn't even see them anymore. And sometimes people, they position themselves where they cannot be blessed anymore.
Right.
And I shared a message one time called, Can You Stand to Be Blessed?
Mm-hmm.
Because although many believers want a blessed life, many people can't handle a blessed life. You remember that guy that we met who was super wealthy, and he said, and one of the things I remember, this is like multi-Forrest Gump millionaire dude.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
I remember he said, with great wealth comes great responsibility.
Mm.
And that thing just hit me, because this guy had millions and millions of dollars, and he realized that I'm going to be held accountable for these millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to count to God one day, what did I do with this stuff?
Yeah.
So he says, with great wealth comes great responsibility, and I got to know what to do with it. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how you can stand to be blessed and what you can do so that God can bless your life. You can be fruitful and bring him glory. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Are you ready to check out of your marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and if you're in a place of despair, please know there is hope. Here's Susie Larson sharing her story.
I was ready to put the surrender flag up and give up on the marriage and just bide my time and stay. I can't even believe that's true. But that's how empty my well was, and that God would lead me to that place of wisdom where I really did have to die to myself so that I could live in this marriage. Profound wisdom right from the Lord, and it really opened the door to something. And I think that's where the tears come from, that in that death point, so many people would rather say death to the marriage rather than death to their flesh. And I thank God that he gave me the insight to follow through with what he was asking of me.
God's design for marriage is, at times, difficult, but it's also deeply rewarding. You'll find hope for your relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not... We're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. they thought Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. And he says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this on to this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about, you know, trustworthiness, being shrewd, being with it, if you will, for the kingdom of God, being on it, and not falling asleep in the blessings of the Lord. And to be one who's able to give an account before God for what he's given us and what we've done with it. And we want to encourage you today to maximize the moment that you have. I mean, the Bible tells us that life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And you really never know. I mean, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, you know, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you and I have is today. And so what are we doing with today? What are we doing with the life? And in Luke 16:12 says, and you who have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Who will give you property of your own? And listen, it sounds so fundamental and sounds so basic, but there are many grown people today that are not blessed. They cannot move into the blessings of the Lord because they've never learned this in their life. You know, listen, God has so much more for us. He has so many things he wants to bring us to. Mm-hmm. There's so many things he wants to do in your life. I mean, Jeremiah 29:11 says he has a plan for your life, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope in the future. But before he can bring you into that future, there's things that have to develop in your life. There's a thing called process, character development, so that when you get the blessing, you're not lost in the blessing. Mm-hmm. And because that's the big blessing, you know, because we had everyday blessing and people were getting lost in like 2-inch blessing. You know what I mean? Like God has the mother load here waiting for you, but you can't handle the 2-inch blessing. You're drowning in it. And we want to talk about how you can stand to be blessed. Oftentimes people are not blessed, not because God doesn't want to give it to them. It's just, they simply cannot handle it. Mm-hmm. They simply cannot handle it. And they've proven that they weren't trustworthy with the other stuff that he's given them before in the past.
Yeah, and it's just like that in itself is just like how much God values where they are presently because they're with him, and God loves them so much that he won't give that blessing to them because he doesn't want to lose them.
Think about this. All right. Some people only know God in their struggle and in their poverty, and that's the only way that they can know God because that's when they pray, that's when they cry out, that's when they read their Bible, that's when it's like, aren't you tired of searching God only when there's trouble in your life? But as soon as the trouble leaves, as soon as the blessing leaves, it's amazing how you'll let God to leave from your grasp, you know? And I'm like, it'd be like Jacob, you know, I'm not going to leave till you bless me, but I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to hold on to this blessing because I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to keep you in my life. I'm going to keep you as the forefront. It's not about this thing. It's not about the blessing, but more about the blesser.
Right.
And so we want to encourage you that you can make that decision today to say, it's okay for me to be shrewd. It's okay for me to have character developed in my life. I want to bring glory to the Lord, and I'm going to be faithful here. You know, oftentimes people can't be faithful where they're at because they're looking at some other field, some other place. And it's like, that other place is never going to materialize in your life. Until you first handle what's in front of you. And it's so important. It's so important because he doesn't want you to get lost in the sauce, if you will. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, where are you?
Well, it's just like what you're talking about before, talking about the hairs in your head that are numbered. You know, God cares about the small things. And he sees those that are faithful with the small things. Because so often, you know, what I hear is the fact that oftentimes we can get caught up in the hand of God. And God gives and his blessings. And it's just like, the heart of God is so much greater than the hand of God. Mm. And when you focus on his heart and who God is, it doesn't matter what his hand gives you because you're with God.
That's right.
And I think about that story of, you know, David. Mm-hmm. And when God called David, he was faithful with the small things. He was faithful with his father's sheep. And even when he was anointed and called, hey, you're going to be king, he was like, okay.
He didn't leave the sheep and look for a crown. He didn't go to a crown shop, did he?
He wasn't all of a sudden like, all right, cool, where's my robe? I'm out of here. I'm done with this sheep thing. He was so content with just being faithful with where he was. And he knew that it was God. It was like, okay, if God found me, God's going to do what God's going to do. And just like you're saying, that's such a powerful statement to say, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds it. And it's just like when you have that encounter and it's just like it just doesn't matter because God knows what he knows and he knows what I need and the timing that I need it. And it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's just like I just want to know him more.
And you can look that in the life of David. He goes to the battlefield to bring a couple sandwiches to his brother, listen to his father. And one of the brothers is like, and where are the sheep? Are you taking care of your job? Where are the sheep?
Yeah.
David's like, don't worry about that. I got that covered. I've been having that covered, you know? And you look at what happened to Joseph. I mean, Joseph goes from being a prisoner, to managing the whole place, the prison, right? And then what? Being able, brought into second command, you know, in all of Egypt. But the first thing, before he could be a manager, you know, in the prison, he had to first manage himself. He first had to get this character development in his life to do the things when no one else was looking, when you're doing things for the eyes of one. That's when you know that the trustworthiness is being developed in your life because you're not looking for a tip. You're not looking for a compliment. You're not looking for an attaboy or an attagirl. You're doing it because you know that God is watching and you want to bring him glory, that you're doing it to his glory. Once you've captured that in your life, I mean, it's beautiful. There's no such thing as a mundane act.
Right.
Because everything that you do, if you're sweeping the floor, you're sweeping it to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. You're being trustworthy in that job. If you're cutting the grass, you're cutting it to the glory of God. If you're administering in, you know, in a hospital, you're administering to the glory of God. If you're managing a mechanic shop, you're doing it for the glory. Whatever it is you're doing it with excellence,
yeah,
because you know that you want to serve God that way. And Colossians says, do your work,
yeah,
as if you're doing it to the Lord.
And there's such a peace in that when you're not doing it for someone to recognize it. Because there's so many, I know personally, before I came to know the Lord, you get caught up in that. And it's just like, you're held to that awareness of just like, did they see it? Did anybody say anything? And the powerful thing is though, when you recognize, like you're saying, that when you do it for the eyes of one, for the eyes, mm-hmm, of God, he sees everything.
That's, yeah, right.
And you know, it's just like, there's that day. It's just like, you know what? I just live my life for you and only yeah, you.
And the principle is that what is done in secret for the eyes of God, God himself will reward in public. But if you try to seek the reward in public, God can't do it. See, if you know, let God do his job.
Yeah.
What's done in secret is always by God rewarded publicly. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about this Ebola and what's happening in this virus and how we can join as prayer as Christians in prayer to stop this whole thing from spreading any further. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time, mm-hmm, of all the times and, mm-hmm, all the history of this nation. Now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. You need to get to someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start in addition to that, you know, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers, and you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where there's everybody's in smaller groups. Cause I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that, these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database, mm-hmm, has gone. It's wet.
Right.
You know, the computer don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Houston, they're in Louisiana, they're, in Mississippi, we were taking people in Pensacola,
mm-hmm,
and this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who, mm-hmm, lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually that got built after Katrina.
Mm.
And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because he saw the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans, and she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you.
Mm-hmm.
They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus. And Sandy, oh my goodness, mm-hmm, Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in, how did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot.
Mm.
And literally.
Mm-hmm.
And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin, ooh, to really, ooh, think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. But the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And If we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible, and it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listening to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. We're going to jump in right now and discuss what's been happening in Liberia and Sierra Leone and some of these African nations where this Ebola virus now has been spreading and has claimed some lives. And now a Christian doctor working with Samaritan's Purse, a head doctor, as well as another person, a worker there, has been infected. We want you to listen to watch this report from CBN as they kind of share on some updates on what's occurring. Watch this.
An Ebola outbreak in Africa is worsening. Now, U.S. health officials are warning Americans not to travel to the three hardest hit countries. And today, the U.S. prepares for the return of two American missionaries infected with the virus while serving in Liberia. Caitlin Burke reports.
It's the worst Ebola outbreak in history. The virus is now being blamed for more than 700 deaths in four West African countries, and it shows no signs of coming under control. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Thursday warned Americans to avoid non-essential travel to Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone.
Unfortunately, these countries don't have the infrastructure to handle the response, and moreover, they don't have any experience with these kind of outbreaks in the past.
American missionaries Nancy Ritball and Dr. Kent Brantley will return to the U.S. to be treated. They were serving on a joint team in Liberia with Samaritan's Purse and Christian Missions Organization, SIM. Ritball is in stable but serious condition and is receiving an experimental drug.
The Ebola virus, in terms of mortality rate, right now is at about 64%. And so that's good news for us. We feel like that's, mom has a chance.
Franklin Graham is the CEO of Samaritan's Purse. He gave an update on Dr. Brantley.
He's fighting for his life. It's a very difficult day for him. And we just ask everybody who's watching if they will pray.
Those who know Dr. Brantley say he put his life on the line for one reason.
This is a guy who thinks that people should do more than just give lip service when they say they're going to follow Jesus.
Meanwhile, Liberian Christians are gathering for a time they're calling sackcloth and ashes, asking God to halt the spread of Ebola in their country. 500 church leaders are coming together in the capital city of Monrovia for 3 days of fasting and prayer. Pastor Emery David of Triumphant Christian Church told us Christians are trusting God for a miracle.
Well, we want this Ebola lifted. If it is an error, a sin that we have committed, we want God to forgive the church, the government, the nation, and heal the land.
Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
And you can find
amazing, out. Amazing. Listen, we want to join Franklin Graham as they were working with his ministry, Dr. Brantley. We're going to make sure that all of this is related for you. And, of course, in our resource page on VFNTV.com, you'll be able to see Samaritan's Purse. Basically, you know, they're an international crisis response ministry team. Their statement is that they stand ready to respond at a moment's notice whenever and wherever disaster strikes, and they specialize in meeting critical needs for victims of conflict, disaster, famine, and epidemics throughout the world. And so these guys are on the scene, but they also bring the hope of Jesus. They bring Bibles. They minister the love of God. And right now, one of our brothers, Dr. Kent Brantley, said, listen, it's not enough just for me to, you know, live my walk with God here in the United States. He wanted to do something and invest his gifts that God's given him and his knowledge and go to Africa. And subsequently, he got infected with this disease. But to his honor, there was a serum that was available, and he didn't take it for himself. He gave it to the other aid worker, wow, the Christian aid worker. And we need to pray for both of their healing. I mean, we want to see God just move powerfully in their lives. But I was very encouraged to hear of the pastors and the churches, you know, that are gathering in that area, and they're saying 3 days of fasting, sackcloth and ashes, seeking God and praying. And one of the pastors hit the nail right on the head. He said, listen, you want to come to this thing with in humility. If it's something that we've done, is there sin that the church has done, the nation has done, we want to ask God to forgive us. We want to ask God to forgive us. We want to pray, and we want him to heal our land. They're believing for a miracle. And we want to ask you, will you stand with us? And Amen. Can we stand together for the people of Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, Nigeria, and really that the African continent, because no one really knows how fast and this thing is spreading. But we want to pray that out of this great tragedy, out of this thing that happened that was horrible, that something really beautiful can come out of this. So continue to lift them up and continue to keep them in prayer. Steve, talk to us and talk to us about the dangers of I know this is something that you've been just praying and thinking about, and it's been on your heart.
Well, it's something that, I mean, you hear it say us often, and you know, in a previous segment, Greg was talking about the fact that that's such a that important question of who is Jesus to you? Who do you say he is? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, especially in the West, you know, we have that conversation that the name of Jesus Christ is very well known. A lot of people know who Jesus is. They talk about him, and it's just like, yeah, I know who Jesus is. And, you know, I just spent a time abiding, and something just jumped out at me, and I just saw how it's amazing, like what you're saying, John. It's just like how there's simple interactions that bring so many things to light. And there were two people that Jesus encountered, and they were sisters. One of them was Martha, and one of them was Mary. And these two sisters had a brother. His name was Lazarus, and Lazarus ended up getting sick, and through the course of events, he ended up dying, and Jesus hears about it, and he's actually, you know, a couple towns away, and he hears about it, and Jesus didn't immediately respond, and after a couple days, he's like, all right, well, let's go. And he goes and he starts walking, and as he's walking in response to where Lazarus was laid to rest at that moment, he encounters one of the sisters. And Jesus had already been in this city at a time. He had already talked to some people. He had already spoken with both Martha and Mary. And as a matter of fact, the Bible shares that there was, he was very close to Lazarus. He was a very good friend of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when Martha sees Jesus, I'm like, I said, this so jumps at me, because Martha responds to Jesus as Lord. That was the first name that she calls him. She says, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus responds and he says, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And what is so powerful, like I look at that, and Jesus responds again. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she says, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God. And it's just like, there's that difference of like, you know, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. I know who people say that you are. I know who the prophets say that you are. Yes, I know. And it's that significant difference of not just simply knowing him. But what is so quick is that after this encounter, the Bible talks about that Martha was outside, right? Well, Mary's inside. And after this exchange between Jesus and Martha, Martha calls Mary and basically says, hey, Jesus is here. She calls him the teacher. But what was powerful about this is that when Mary heard this, the people that were around Mary were so aware of her response to Jesus that how quickly she got up and responded to Jesus. She quickly went up to him. And when she arrived to Jesus, Jesus was still standing where he was before when Jesus was talking to Martha. And they got up and followed her. Because they saw, I mean, you think about her brother just died. She's weeping. She's mourning. She's grieving. And she gets up with this immediate urgency. And they're like, well, what's going on? And her reaction to Jesus was so much different. When Mary responded to him, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. She didn't say anything right away.
Right.
She fell at his feet. And she said, while weeping, she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And it says that Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he asks, where have you laid him? And then he says, come and see. And Jesus is weeping. But the powerful thing is, though, is the fact that they both said the same thing. Martha said, yeah, I know that you are the life. You are the truth. You are the resurrection. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, is that Mary did it with her life. Martha said it with the word. She says, yeah, I know who you are. But Mary knew who she was, knew who Jesus was. And that is just so really just jumping at me and realizing the fact that we can say the things that, yeah, we say that we know who Jesus is. Yeah, I know who Jesus is. But the thing is, though, when you approach Jesus, do you approach him falling at his feet in that awesomeness of just like, who is Jesus? And recently we had a discussion, John, and what jumped out at me, it was just like, it was Leonard Ravenhill that says, we need a new revelation of the majesty of God, that understanding of truly who is Jesus, because it's just like, Lord, I don't want to just tell you that you're Lord. I want people to see how I respond to Jesus, how I run to Jesus, how I search out Jesus, that it would cause them to follow me going after Jesus. And it's just like, how we live our life shouts so much louder than the words that we say.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's about encountering the Lord. It's about having a personal revelation, you know, about who he is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people try to project things on the Lord. They try to take his narrative. They look at him as a historical figure, but they don't understand. They don't have a revelation. You know, I think about the two men that walked on the road of Emmaus. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were stunned. They saw what had happened in, you know, in the city. Mm-hmm. And the stranger walks up to them and says, hey, guys, what's this? It's like, dude, are you from here? Do you know what just happened? I mean, Jesus of Nazareth just crucified. I mean, dead bodies started walking out the ground. I mean, thunder. This is serious. And as they were talking with him, there, you know, he's got to a certain destination, made it seem like he had to keep going, and they invited him to stay. And Jesus, he was veiled; they didn't recognize Jesus. And as soon as Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were illuminated, and they were to see Jesus for who he was. And then he was gone. Mm-hmm. But what they said was, "Didn't our hearts burn when he was there with us? Didn't our hearts burn?" And that's the whole thing. When we have a revelation of God, nothing can change that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, that points to what Miriam Ibrahim knows. That points to what Pastor Saeed Abedini knew in Iran. That's the two girls that were locked up in Evin prison in Iran. That, you know, Brother Yun, who was persecuted in China, and those that were killed, you know, in Korea. Mm-hmm. And even goes back to the early church where the Christians were being eaten, you know, by lions in the Colosseum, where Nero was crucifying, putting Christians on a cross in his garden, dipping them in wax and lighting them on fire because he wanted to see his gardens at night, and he was illuminating them with the flesh of Christians, burnt flesh. But what would cause people not to deny Jesus? Yeah. Is that revelation that you're talking about, knowing him experientially. See, a lot of people know of Jesus, they know about Jesus, and they're familiar with Bible stories and parables. But knowing of and about and some information is quite different than having revelation. And revelation means that our eyes are open, our hearts are open, and we have encountered him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the huge thing, is that we have to be able to recognize, how do we personally know him? Because it's a dangerous moment when we say, yeah, I know who Jesus is.
Yeah, the question is, what do you know? You know, and who do you know? And have you encountered him today? We want to give you that opportunity just like we have. Listen, if you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, he loves you, has a plan for your life, and you can meet him at meetmyfather.org. We've written some of our stories about how we've encountered him, and you can see those testimonies, and you can do the same. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it. John,
yes.
There's this, you know, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of the Lord, just awesome. There's a song that that you know we sing as believers, and we've sang it's been around for a while now, but it's called right. You know, Shekinah glory come down, where you're calling down the presence of God. You know,
the glory of God.
Yeah, I remember in one of the VFN churches that they were gathered together and they were in worshiping, and there's a brand new person in their fellowship, and they've never heard about the glory of God or the Shekinah glory of God. And so everybody's singing that song, you know, Shekinah glory come down, Shekinah glory come down. And, you know, and it seems like everything's okay. But you know, halfway through their gathering, this person leaves.
Right.
And then, you know, what was going on? What was happening? You know, so finally, maybe a couple of weeks later, the pastor goes over and sees the person and talks to them and finds out what's going on and said, well, you know, I was talking to my father, and I don't know who Shekinah is, but, you know, we're not really into worshiping any of these gods. And it was just so funny. They actually thought that it was Shekinah, that they were actually worshiping some god called
Shakira
or Shekinah. And, of course, she was able to explain what it was. It was so funny. You think about it. You're saying, where is this Shekinah or Shakira? What's going on right here?
That's really funny.
It is hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back to VFN TV and the daily VFN Radio program. We want to talk about Jeremy Lin. For those who don't know, Jeremy Lin is an NBA superstar. But more importantly, he is a son of God. He is a Christian who loves the Lord. He's Harvard educated and plays ball. I don't know.
Harvard?
Yeah, he went to Harvard, man. He's the guy's super smart.
Didn't know that.
And his claim to fame, he was with the New York Knicks at the time that I was in New Jersey, and we had a chance to experience Lin's sanity. Which is basically an opportunity that he had to get off the... He was a bench player and was able... Some players got hurt. I believe Carmelo Anthony got hurt. And he was called off the bench to play in the game. And he was on fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could not be stopped. And he went on these stretch of games where he was unstoppable, unbeatable, in the zone, playing like a superstar. And normally bench players are just like relief players. They come in to relieve the superstars and they get some, you know, get some work in and then they stay fresh. In the event that, you know, one of the main players goes down, they could at least, you know, hold the ground. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy did beyond that. He just didn't hold the ground. He took over. Like, they couldn't take him out of the lineup. He was that good. Mm-hmm. And something broke out called Linsanity. I mean, he became world famous. They made videos of him, and it saved his career. And when he got to that spotlight and in that position, he gave all the glory to Jesus Christ. And he's from Taiwan, and he went there to preach the gospel. He's been all over the place, really, sharing about the Lord and about his life. Well, he was then traded to the Houston Rockets and continued, I guess, to do well there. Didn't follow him too much there. But just recently, we just found out that he was traded to the Lakers. Huge franchise, bunch of wins, bunch of rings, place where Kobe Bryant plays, his team, I would imagine. And the very first thing that Jeremy Lin does, the very first thing he does as a Laker, Los Angeles Laker, is go feed the homeless. I mean, is one of the first things he does at Skid Row, and he wanted just to play and you know, do his part as part of the team. But we have a something we want you to see. It's him being interviewed by, I guess, a group called Laker Nation, and they ask him some silly questions. But just hold it for a while, because the last thing he says to me is pretty amazing. So watch this.
Hey guys, for LakersNation.com, Serena Winters here with Jeremy Lin, already a huge fan favorite. Hey, you're wearing number 17. Have you asked Rick Fox for permission?
No, I haven't, but hopefully he'll be okay. They told me he wasn't retired yet, so I think hopefully I'm allowed to wear it.
Hey, what is the craziest thing either a fan has said to you or done to you?
There's been a lot of crazy things. I guess one of the more recent ones was I was just in Asia, and we had like an airport. We landed in the airport in Taiwan, and there's a ton of people who were there. And one of the crazy fans jumped into the car that we were on, and we had to kick them out and stuff. It was just a little wild, a bold move by the fan.
Speaking of crazy fans, did you hear about the fan who, the mom who posted an ad on Craigslist offering up a spare bedroom to you?
Yeah, I heard about it and stuff, but because I've been in Asia the last 3 weeks, I haven't had my phone with me. And so just like friends have been mentioning it or like sending me emails and stuff, but I never really looked at it myself. I just heard that if there's a place to stay that I could, I would have one option, but I don't know anything beyond really that, so.
Hey, we've heard about all of your infamous secret handshakes. Who was going to be the recipient of that first handshake for you over at the Lakers?
We'll see. It's not something that I can just talk about right away without meeting everybody. I gotta see who fits the mold.
All right, Jeremy. Lastly, the one thing you want to tell Lakers fans they're going to expect from you this season.
The one thing I can say about me is I'm gonna play for God, and I'm gonna play the way that I've been taught to play, and that's gonna be an up-tempo, aggressive style of play.
All right, Lakers Nation, that's Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, the one thing they can expect from me is that I'm gonna play for God. How awesome is that?
Awesome.
How awesome is that? Jeremy Lin gets on the scene, and it's so funny. They say they offered him a room, you know, a bedroom. A lot of people don't know that Jeremy Lin, when he was in the New York Knicks, he didn't even have his own apartment. He was couch surfing. The guy was making league minimum. I mean, he was barely on the team. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his own place. And so to go from there to this year, he's in the third year of his contract, earning $15 million.
Third year? He just started.
Well, no, it was part of the trade when they traded him over. Okay. Right. They take the contract with him.
I got you.
$15 million. $15 million. So not bad, Jeremy Lin. I guess you put God first, you get blessed. You know what I mean? But he says, I'm playing for God. And that's so important, because that's what we want to do with our young people. We want to give them opportunities to look at athletes that are not playing for the fame and the glory that a lot of sports has become. It's about people seeking their own statistics, their own enshrinement, if you will. They're playing for a ring or for a statue maybe of them somewhere in a Hall of Fame, you know, museum. But Jeremy Lin says, listen, I'm playing for God. You know, when I'm out there, I'm playing with integrity. I'm playing with fairness. I'm playing to his glory. And when I do well and I have the stage and I have the spotlight, if you will, it's not going to be about me. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be so that I can talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so cool. I mean, something that Tim Tebow had done repeatedly, that every time they tried to give him accolades and try to say all this great stuff about him, he just said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, it's just want to thank him so much for what he's blessed my life with. And I think that's what we need to do with young people. We need to help them to see that, hey, there is a bigger perspective to life and sports and education and work. It's all about the Lord.
And that's what the really exciting thing is just like to see athletes like this get to that level. And like you're saying, point the attention back to Jesus, because a lot of times we can look right at their athleticism or their abilities. And it's just like we say that their abilities are number one, or their glory is number one, or their fame is number one. And it's just like, well, they're in the fame, they're in the athleticism, they're in that attention, and they're saying, let me realize and point to you what the attention should be on. And that's huge, because children a lot of times don't see that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, your flame may not last forever, so the 15 seconds, the 15 minutes of fame that you have, you know, don't waste it on yourself. Invest it in a way that God can get exposure and glory, and that Jesus can be famous. Mm-hmm. You know, before we come to the end of the program, we do want to share with you a recent development that came out of a former employee who worked for Microsoft. He had some children and had a desire, because we're talking about technologies and we're talking about how, you know, the seven mountains, how, you know, Christians are moving into these areas of technology and media and business and education and family, the church and government, that, you know, whoever's on top of the mountain, you know, basically controls everything else that happens on that mountain. Mm-hmm. And this former employee from Microsoft, entirely too cool, he had an encounter with his children as they were, he's Christian, they were learning in Sunday school, you know, the stories of David and Goliath and Abraham, and they were having difficulties trying to, you know, explain them and remember what was happening. So he says, you know what? I need to make an app. I need to make an app for that.
Oh, wow.
And so this guy, Mr. Henson, he made this app that's amazing. I want to encourage you to download it, share it with people. It's called Righteous Tales. Righteous Tales, David and Goliath. This thing is an animated game that previews, like, I mean, you play the game, but then you also hear about the Bible story throughout the game. The animation is amazing. The quality is so cool. But I love these interactive ways that children and young people can learn the Word of God. I mean, you think about what technology has done, and now you can actually, you know, you went from reading the Bible to being able to listen to the Bible. I mean, how many people can't read, have difficulty understanding, don't understand, you know, can't read the words, and or they're old and they can't see with their eyes, or not what they used to be. But the technology of being able to put the Bible on audio, now they're hearing it. Now with technology of movies, you're seeing the Bible come to life in three-dimensional surround sound, and you're seeing the passion. Mm-hmm. You're seeing, you know, Noah and the waters part. You're experiencing what it was like as these stories unfolded and God's truth is being revealed. And now with the new technology, young people are able to look at games. I mean, CB and Superbook, you should see this thing. Download that app as well, because they can actually read the Bible on their iPhone, iPad.
Powerful.
And in the middle of it, a video opens up. And I'm talking about beautiful animation.
Yeah.
So creative. And we're using all of these technologies. We're not going to surrender these technologies to the world. We're going to say, no, how can we use them to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ far, long, and wide? Let's do this together. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.